Well, praise God. You know, I believe God is, no matter the fact that we can't physically meet just at the moment, but I believe God is preparing us, or should be preparing us, and we should be getting ready to see God moving in power in us and through us,
yeah,
for His praise and for His glory.
Mm.
And today, I've entitled today's message, The Power in the Name of Jesus. We have not chatted, we have not said what I'm going to speak on. Daniel does not know, so the choruses were not picked. So obviously God knows, the Spirit of God is moving,
mm,
even when we're not communicating in the,
yes,
sense, in the natural realm, but God is communicating by His Spirit. And this is the important thing that I'm trying to get over to us, because we are first spirit beings,
yeah,
right? We are first spirit beings, and then we are physical and mental beings. And so God wants to minister. Our first time relationship with God was as a spiritual being and not as a physical, mm-hmm, body in that sense. So God wants to deal with us in the realm of the supernatural, and God wants us to operate in the realm of the supernatural.
Oh,
I have a question to each and every one of us. What is our destiny? What is our destiny? And that's something for you to write down and say to yourself, what is my destiny today? What is my destiny tomorrow? Where am I? And so I want us to have a look, because I know that the answer is in the Bible.
Yeah.
The answer to our questions are in the Word of God. All that we need to know is in the Word of God.
Mm.
And so let's turn to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 18, sorry, 15 through to 18. And these are the words of Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through to 18. And He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Amen.
So this is the commission that the Lord Jesus has given to us. This is what the Lord has told us. And this is our destiny. It's already planned. It's already God's purpose for you and for me. So that we, as a believer, as individuals who believe in the Word of God and the power of the name of Jesus, that we are to be the ministers of signs, wonders, and miracles. We're to minister in healings. We're to see miracles being performed through that mighty name of Jesus. Because as we, as the church, we carry the name of Jesus. We carry His presence inside each and every one of us. And so I just want to encourage you today that listen to that scripture. Read it again to yourself. You know, when we finish today, read that over again. What has God called me to be? What has God called me to do? And you might turn around now and say, well, I can't do that. That's okay. You can't do it, but God can do it through you.
Amen.
But it is about preparing ourselves, getting ourselves ready, so that God will move in our lives and through our lives for His praise and for His glory. And that God wants, His plan and His purpose is that God wants you involved in this. God wants you doing this. This is what the Lord Jesus came and died on a cross for, that you and I might begin to do the work of the kingdom of God, that we might be the Jesus on this earth today towards,
amen,
men and women, that we might be their answer in their time of need. And so it is for you and for me to begin that work of the kingdom of God. And it's not about how clever you are.
Amen.
It's about who you know. And it's having that relationship and developing that relationship with the Lord Jesus and getting into the Bible. It's in there. It's all in there for each and every one of us. And so often we get drawn away into so many other things and we miss that we need to be connecting with God. We need to be connecting with the Word of God. We don't necessarily all the time understand, but we certainly need to be connected. And you know that God's Word is a mystery, so you won't understand it all. You won't always understand the plans and the purposes that God has for our lives. But you will know the power of Him speaking and moving through our lives for His praise and for His glory. So let's turn to the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, commencing at verse 1. And probably we'll read quickly through to verse 11, basically. And I love this story. It says, now Peter and John were going to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Wow. You know, we were praying last Wednesday.
Yeah.
It is good to get together and
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Because there's power. The powerhouse is in the prayer house.
Mm.
When we come together, we can learn to listen to the Holy Spirit and we can begin to move in the anointing of God. Sometimes we need to, God gave us two ears and one mouth. There's a reason for that. Zip this, zip your mouth and listen with your ears. Learn to speak when the Spirit prompts you, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, not when you feel prompted. And that's a different thing. Some people like to be heard for speaking. God wants you to hear His voice and only to speak His words. It's important that we learn that because we can cut across the things of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God begins to move, you know, the devil will have you cut across it at times. The enemy wants to cut across it because he says of the Holy Spirit, He's like a dove.
Yeah.
And He can easily be moved on. You know, they're just the... For instance, we have the doves coming in the garden. All we need to do is literally wave at them through the window and they will fly off. That's how timid they are. And so it's a description of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be ourselves tuning in to what God is doing. And so there they were on the ninth hour going to prayer. He says, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they had used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he begged, asking to receive alms. And Peter looked along with John, fixed his gaze upon him, and said, look at us.
Amen.
Look at us. Folks, we need to get people to look at us.
Amen.
And when they look at us, they see Jesus.
Amen.
When they look at us, they see the power of God.
Amen.
And so he said, look at us. He's bringing the man's eyes and directing the man's attention off himself begging for money onto Peter.
Yeah.
And John, fixing his gaze upon him, and he said, look at us, and he began to give them his attention. And verse 5 again, and he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold. What I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened, And with a leaping, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple begging for money. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And while he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran to them at the so-called Gate of Solomon, full of amazement. You know, people were amazed at this. And you know, the Church of Jesus Christ, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, need to come to a place and a point in their lives, in their journey with the Lord Jesus, and in the journey with the Holy Spirit, and in the journey with God the Father, that we are the people who are bringing life, new life into people's lives, that we are people that are destiny changers for individuals. The moment that you and I bring somebody to Jesus, the moment that you and I speak to a person and lead them to Christ, we've caused a miracle to happen, and we've changed the destiny of a person's life. We've changed their eternity from a damnation in hell to eternity in heaven with the Father. And that is what we are about, should be about doing. As Jesus said when he was a child, young child at 12, I must be about my Father's business. We must be about the Father's business. Time is short. The world is in turmoil. Heaven's not. And the church should not be in turmoil. We should have that peace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, knowing that we have the power and the anointing, knowing that we have the presence of God in our lives, knowing that we can see signs, wonders and miracles, because that is what God has called us to be. That the devil will be defeated underneath our feet. He's already defeated at the cross. And you know, he still keeps coming against us. But guess what? I've read the end of the book. We win. And he's defeated. And we have to stand there and stand on our authority that Jesus gave to us. And I think over the last few weeks I've mentioned where Jesus gave to his disciples all power and all authority. We need to take this on board. We need to realize this more and more. We need to be a people that is proactive in this line, not waiting for things to happen, but causing things to happen. Because that is what we are. We are God's mouthpiece. We are God's creative force on the earth. When you speak to someone who's blind and you lay hands on them in the name of Jesus and their eyes are open, you have just caused the creative force of God to open their eyes. Praise God. Do you not get excited about that? Do you not want to be part of that? Because that is what God has called you to. You weren't saved just to get a ticket to go to heaven. You were called to serve the living God. You weren't called to be self-serving. You were called to serve God. And that is the prime motivation that you and I should have, that we are called to serve the living God. We are called to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And that as we serve him, we shall rule and reign with him. As we serve him, we shall see his name glorified. As we serve him, we shall see signs, wonders and miracles done in that precious and mighty name of the Lord Jesus. That is our calling. That is your calling. And you might feel, I'm not equipped, I'm not able. Well, let's get equipped. Let's get to the Bible teachings. Let's get to the, as soon as we're back in church, we want to do more teachings. We want to do more preparations and preparing people and equipping people for the work of their work in the ministry. That's what it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 12, that the fivefold ministry that operates in the church, in the body of believers, that it's there to equip all the believers for the work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is Mark 16. That Jesus, that great commission, that's our work in ministry. Signs, wonders and miracles in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Not good deeds, but signs, wonders and miracles. Good deeds will follow on from that. Hallelujah. God wants a supernatural church.
Amen.
That's what God wants. A supernatural church. Not a church who's just digging around and doing bits and pieces. He wants a church that is powerful. A church that is anointed. A church with the presence of a living God. That is what God is calling you to. There's a price to pay. There's a cost in this. But I tell you what, it's well worth it.
Amen.
You see, God demands everything from you. That when he takes everything out of you, he can then place himself fully into you.
Praise God.
So often we think we're giving something up. No, God's saying, give me everything you've got and I'll change it and I'll give you back. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. He'll give you more of an abundance of him and himself than that little bit of yourself that you've got. And that little bit so often of ourself is selfish, self-centered, and God wants to change that. That we look out and we see God's moving in power through the mighty hand of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Let's look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11 through to 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul.
Amen.
So that from his body they brought unto him the six handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. What was happening here? The very presence of God that was flowing through Saul. Paul, as he became, that very presence was flowing through him. And as he laid hands upon an handkerchief, and he prayed over it, and they anointed that handkerchief. And then they sent it to the sick person. When that handkerchief was laid upon someone, on that sick person, it says, they were healed. You and I should be carriers of God's anointing. You and I should be carriers of the presence of God. I know of stories that even today in my lifetime where people have prayed over on handkerchiefs and cloths and sent them to somebody. And when they gave them that cloth, that person was instantly healed.
Amen.
Look at the woman with the issue of blood. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. The woman with the issue of blood. She pushed through that crowd, saying to herself, if I can only but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She knew that there was an ability of transferring the presence and the power of heaven right there and then into her life that would touch her, that would heal her, and that would set her free.
Amen.
All we've got to do is reach out by faith in Christ and see the presence and the power of God. And you know, when we pray for the sick, we're reaching out by faith.
Yeah.
We're reaching out, we're being that conductor, and we're passing through, we're letting it pass through the presence, the power, the anointing of God that the Holy Spirit has laid upon us when we were filled by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus said to the disciples, tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with the power of the Spirit.
Amen.
He didn't say speaking in tongues, that's an outward sign, but the fact of the power was laid upon his children, it's laid upon his disciples, and so we can rejoice in that. That woman was healed. Her life was changed. She spent everything. And then God touched her as she reached out in faith to Jesus. You know, the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit. He is a tangible substance.
Amen.
He's a tangible substance, the Spirit of God. There's a tangibility about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you've never felt it, you're missing out. Because there is. Again, from my personal experience, many times I've felt a tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. Sensing Him moving, sensing Him speaking to me. That's what God wants. God wants you and I to be tuned to a place where we're hearing the Spirit. We're saying what God wants us to say. Some of you, in your experience of walking your Christian journey with us, have come out for prayer at different times and God has spoken to you through me. And it's not been a case that I've known your situation or your circumstance. I've probably not. Most of the time I don't. But it's the fact that the Holy Spirit knows. And then He speaks to you through another vessel. He speaks to you through one of the disciples. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants to speak through the disciples, the disciplined followers of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the real church.
Mm-hmm.
Not the building. Not just because someone attends a church, that does not make them a Christian. Not just because someone reads the Bible, that does not make them a Christian. Intellects have read the Bible and said there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
It means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, we need to be disciplined. We need to follow His teachings. We need to act them out. We need to do the work of the kingdom of God. And it's important for us to learn to do that. Firstly, the Spirit of God was flowing through the Apostle Paul. When healing hands were laid on these handkerchiefs and these aprons, they became like storage batteries of the Holy Spirit. Seems strange, doesn't it, to say that? But can you imagine just laying hands on this handkerchief and praying over it and suddenly saying, there's the power of God in that. And when we send it to the person it's meant for, it will release the power of God into their lives, into their bodies, and heal them. Wow. Can you believe that?
Amen.
Do you want to believe that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, if we didn't have to have you mute us, it'd be great, you know, because I should hope by now you'd be whooping and shouting and standing on your seats, raising your hands and giving glory to God.
Amen.
I've got to believe that you're doing it. Well, I know Tracy's clapping there, so praise God, hallelujah. And, you know, Tracy's a miracle.
She is.
Carla's healed her a number of times. She's been on death's bed.
Mm.
And God's touched her. Even the doctors said she was a miracle. And that was the senior consultant at the hospital in Derby. And he said, Tracy, he said, you're an absolute miracle. You should be dead. You know, we pray, God gave me a word for her and said, you shall not die, but you shall live.
Amen.
To declare the works of God. And I laid hands on her. Sorry?
He said my heart was the strongest thing because I gave my heart to God, didn't I?
Amen.
Before I went to them.
Yeah. That's right. The doctor said her heart was the strongest thing, but she'd given her heart to Jesus.
Mm.
And when she gave her heart to Jesus, He began to change things and turn things around for her.
Yep.
Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
So that's number one, the storage batteries, the power of God. We can send that power. We can use that power for the glory of God. Number two, as Jesus is sick, there's a surge, you know, as we reach out to Jesus, there's a surge of power that left His body. When that woman reached out, a surge of power, it left His body. And you know, Jesus set a pattern for us that we are to do as Jesus did.
Amen.
That's the pattern. We are to imitate the Christ. And we are to realize that God wants us to move in His presence and power. God wants to use you in such a way. And so Jesus wants to flow through us, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through each and every one of us. There is a tangibility about the Holy Spirit. A tangibility about the Holy Spirit that we can let it flow through our lives. Thirdly, when we begin to rest in the presence of God and flow in the presence of God, we shall become transmitters of the power of God into a sick person's life. That's what God is calling you to. He sends his disciples out two by two with the commission to go and heal the sick. They came back rejoicing and said to him, even the demons are subject to us. But he said, don't rejoice just in that. He said, rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you given everything that you have to Christ, that your name might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you surrendered all to Jesus, all to him you freely give? Have you asked him to become the Lord of your life, the center of everything that you think and do? Because that's what it's about. I'm not painting an easy picture, because God wants to know. God wants you to know. By having him in the center of your life, by having him as your central focus, that life becomes different, that there's a change, there's a moving forward. So God wants you to have that power then to flow through you. But it's only when we connect with God in that way and in that presence of God that we know his anointing upon us that we can flow. That name, number four, that name. The name of Jesus, it drives out sickness.
Amen.
It drives out disease. It sets captives free.
Amen.
It breaks the power of the enemy over our lives. In number five, even the insane were delivered and were healed. The madman of Gadara, as they called him. They had to try and chain him down and everything. Nothing could hold him down. But he met Jesus. And his life was turned around. He became a new man. He became a new creation.
Amen.
In the power and the presence of God. And you know, today, each and every one of us, we can be just like that. When we meet that circumstance, that situation, there's power in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, there it says, Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, and he called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
Amen.
That's what the disciples were doing. Today, are you a disciple? Well, again, this is before Jesus had died. This is before Jesus had been crucified and risen again. And there he was sending them out. Jesus at this point in time was giving his disciples a limited power of eternity. I'll say that again. He was giving his disciples a limited power of eternity. So in other words, they represented the power of Jesus. And it began to work through them, and they saw things happen. They saw lives being changed. They saw their destinies being moved in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And we need to realize that God is at work in us and through us. And you know, we have to understand that what he says in John's Gospel chapter 14, John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 8 through to verse 14. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus comes straight back at him and says, Have I been so long with you, still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me?
Amen.
The word that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does his work. See, Father was indwelling Jesus. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Jesus was saying, the Father is revealed by the works.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is revealed by the works.
Amen.
Not attending a church service. The kingdom of God is revealed by the works.
Yes.
And so we need to be workers of the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever believes in me will also do the works that I do.
Amen.
I'll read that again. Just in case you're thinking it's not for you. Truly, truly, I say, whoever believes in me, Jesus, will also do the works that I, Jesus, do. Can you see your calling?
Yeah.
You might say, well, nobody ever really told me that when I got saved. I just thought I'd got to come to church on Sunday and Wednesday and attend this and attend that and give my tithes and give my offerings and that was it. No. You were sold short.
Yeah.
You were sold short. You've been robbed. God wants you to have that presence and that flow of the Spirit and that flow of the power in your life.
Amen.
Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me, the Lord Jesus, will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Wow. Because we've got longer here. We've got a longer time. There's going to be greater works. Because he said, I'm going to the Father. You see, just because he was going to the Father, as far as he was concerned, the works weren't stopping. The works were going to get greater. He was making room for the works to become greater. And he said, he goes on to say, and he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do.
Amen.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Amen.
If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, God, Jesus and the Father are one. And he's saying, this is happening in my name. I will do it because I want to glorify my Father. This is a healing Jesus. Jesus is now giving his disciples unlimited power of attorney.
Amen.
I'll say that again.
Wow.
Unlimited power of attorney.
Of attorney.
Yeah. You see, you and I are now the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are here on this earth to carry on the work that Jesus started. You and I are here to have the power of God flowing through us at an unlimited amount. Some of you are saying, well, I've never heard this before like that. But this is what it's about. We have the unlimited power of eternity, of eternity. In other words, that we are the ones who are called to do this, to be equipped for this. And all this was before Jesus was crucified. So imagine that when Christ and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was laid on those disciples. The power that began to flow. We know in Acts at the beginning, after the Holy Spirit was given, 3,000 were added to the church.
Amen.
Things began to happen in great numbers. God began to move through his Spirit. And, you know, it's The Holy Spirit is a vital power.
Amen.
In the lives of the disciples. It is vital to their survival,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. It is vital to their existence. It is vital to the church.
Amen.
That there be a presence of the Holy Spirit. If not, it just becomes a body of people who are singing songs.
Yeah.
And that is not what it's about. It's not about a body just doing things and just going through the motions. But it is about a body who is at the, I'll say that, the beck and call of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is Him who will lead us and He will direct us. Acts chapter 3 tells us these things. It's such a wonderful experience. That man was there for 40 years, over a period of 40 years, never walked, born lame. Literally, he had no muscles. What muscles he had no strength in them because he'd never stood on them. He'd never used those muscles in his life. And yet, suddenly, when they took hold of his hands, when they spoke that name of Jesus, they took hold of his hands and lifted him up. Suddenly, a power surged through them from heaven and transformed that man's legs, that they were able to carry his body, and that man was able to leap around and dance around and praise God. People
Amen.
Were amazed.
Amen.
There were many people who passed him by so many days, so many years, and had never seen him move from there. The power of a living God. As you know, heaven struck that man.
Amen.
With its power.
Amen.
Oh God, let heaven come down
yeah.
and strike each and every one of us with the power of God. Let heaven come down. Let us touch heaven and let the power of God just flow through us.
Mm.
Let there be such an anointing. We're called to do the work.
Mm.
This is what we're called to.
Amen.
Let's move in that anointing. Let's be in that presence. But we need to prepare ourselves, get prepared spiritually. Prepare ourselves to move in that anointing. Prepare ourselves to in seeking God. Prepare ourselves in the Word of God. Prepare ourselves together that we listen, because Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Paul took teams. Silas took teams to minister. And they listened. They worked together in the Spirit that men and women would come to know the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that men and women would see heaven, that men and women would feel a touch of heaven. You see, God's intention is, as God created Adam and Eve in the beginning and they were made perfect, God's intention is that you and I will finish at that point. His plan has never changed. His purpose has never changed. We have to let God do it. And, but we have to join in with this. We have to be proactive with this. We have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to move forward. And as we do that, we will see God moving in power in our lives. Some people would ask, well, what if people are not healed immediately? Good question. It does happen, doesn't it? Some people are not healed immediately. And there are various reasons, and I'm just going to bring a couple to you now, actually, and say that healing does not always happen immediately. Let's take, for instance, the 10 lepers that Jesus prayed for. And this is Jesus, pure, spotless, sinless man, Son of God, absolutely nothing to stop heaven moving through him. Yet it says, Jesus said to them, go show yourselves to the high priest. And it says, and as they went, they were healed. Praise God. As they went. They weren't healed on the spot. They had to move by faith.
Amen.
They had to move on the word of Jesus, and they had to operate in faith on that word. And as they operated in faith and moved on that word, then that healing flowed into their bodies and they were totally healed. Says one, return to tell him and rejoice. Same with the blind man in Mark chapter 8 and verses 23 to 25. The blind man that Jesus prayed for, he prayed for him twice. He spit on the ground and made a mud and put it in his eyes, and he prayed for him. And the man said, I see men as trees walking. And Jesus prayed for him again. Sometimes healing can be by degrees. It can be based on a number of things, and two of them can be the degree of healing virtue that is ministered. In other words, when we pray for people, as it said in that, with a woman who touched the edge of his garment, she said, it says there that virtue left him. Vitality, power of heaven left him. And so by healing can be at times by a degree of virtue that we administer into a person's life. The second one is the word of faith that gives action and power to that virtue that's been administered. You know, we have to mix it with faith. God always uses things in so often in twos.
Yeah.
The word and faith. And then the presence and power of God begins to flow. So we need to remember that it can't be just one thing on its own. The word creates life in us. Our faith has to arise and let its enemies be scattered. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, it says this. This is in the English translation. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened.
Mm.
You know, we need the word, and faith have to come together. We have to be joined together if we want to see the power of God moving in our lives. It is so important. In the American translation, it says, for indeed, we have had a good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. You see, the word without faith will not work. They work together. It is a divine combination. Remember, Jesus turned to that centurion. When he came to Jesus and said, Lord, I want you to heal my servant. And Jesus said, I'll come. He said, no. He said, all I need you to do is speak the word. You see, the centurion had faith.
Yeah.
All he needed was the word from Jesus.
Mm.
And when the two came together,
yeah,
from that point on, that servant was healed. And when you read that story, when they come to meet him and they say, it's okay, he's healed. And he said, when did it happen? Do you know, it was that moment when his faith and the word of Jesus came together and that man was healed.
Yeah.
You see, you can't just have the word say, I'll just pray the word over that person. There has to be faith.
Mm-hmm.
So this is often why we preach the word of God. We preach the word of God to inspire faith. We preach the word of God to stir up faith in a person's life. You see, you came to Christ by hearing the word of God, and the word of God created faith in us.
Yeah.
And through faith and the word of God, we received Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so we need to move into that realm and let God move through us. So often God, as I said, sent his disciples out two by two. You see, today we have scientists who speculate. I was listening the other day to something on the news, and it was a program, and the scientists were saying, well, you know, so often we guess at things, and we hope we guess right. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting one. You don't hear that one said very often, do you? They speculate, they guess. This might, and they often say, this might be what's happening. But we take the might as, oh, that's what's definitely happening. No, it's not. It only might happen. And so we have to realize that science is not the ultimate thing. God is the one who gives all wisdom and all knowledge and all revelation and all understanding. And the only reason that we're as clever as we are is because God has given it to us and allowed us to come to that point of revelation and understanding. You see, today, miracles, the realm of miracles, is man, should be man's natural realm.
Wow.
I'll say that again. The realm of miracles should be today the natural realm for man.
Amen.
You see, when Adam was in the garden with God, in the beginning of creation, miracles were the signs of the presence of God. Adam was spiritual. Adam was a supernatural man. Adam was in partnership with God at that time.
Amen.
He was in partnership. Catch that, for goodness sake. Don't just let it float through your mind. Just catch it for a minute. Adam and God were in partnership on the earth.
Yeah.
God gave Adam authority over the earth.
Amen.
They were in partnership. Did you get this?
Yeah.
And when Jesus came to restore, he came to restore you and I back to a partnership.
Amen.
With Almighty God. Yeah. Don't start shouting too loud, glory to God.
Amen.
But you and I should be in partnership in the spirit realm with God himself.
Yeah.
That is where we are called to. That is what we are called into. So that the realm of the miraculous should be the realm that we live in. Should be the realm that is natural and normal to us.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that sin came into our lives and sin dethroned Adam from the working and from living in the realms of the miraculous. But thank God, through his grace and through his mercy, Jesus came. And as I said, brought us back to that place where we can work with God in the realm of the miraculous yet again. God is seeking to restore back to himself and to you and I all that was lost when Adam sinned.
Yeah.
2,000 years ago, just over, Jesus came and began that restoration work in for you and for me. And we realize this, that Christ is the place where we need to reside. Christ needs to be in us and we to be in Christ. We need to be living in that realm of the Spirit, living in a place of signs, of wonders and miracles. That should be the normal church life. That should be the normal experience as God intended you and I to live. And once we begin to live a life like this, faith will not be a problem to us.
Amen.
Faith will not be a problem to us. We just keep... I've seen God do this many times. I'm just going to keep going. And you just have that momentum. And that momentum just keeps you going. Keeps you moving forward. And we don't stop. We just keep moving forward. We are moving forward to our destiny, to our eternity in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that is what God has called us. You see, we've been so slow to realize that man is first a spirit.
Yeah.
This is our basic nature.
Yeah.
That's what we were created as. When God made Adam out of the dust, he just made a container to contain something of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because God breathed into him his Spirit. God breathed into him his life. He kissed him. You know, God kissed him.
Yeah.
You know, when you see them and they teach you to do artificial resuscitation, as we call it now, mouth to mouth. I know these days they give you plastic things to put over so your lips don't touch theirs and everything and all this sort of stuff. Well, guess what? Plastic weren't invented then when God breathed into Adam's. And he said, there was a contact. The lips of God touched the lips of Adam.
Amen.
The nose of God touched the nose of Adam, and God breathed his life, that supernatural life. And you know, when we come to Christ, and when the Holy Spirit comes into us, God is breathing again.
Amen.
His natural life, his supernatural life into us. That's what God is doing. Grasp this, please, and realize the importance of this, that God is doing miracles when he does these things in your life and in my life.
Yeah.
You know, we've educated ourselves so much, and we've totally ignored the realm of the spirit. We're educating ourselves in the sense realm, in the visual realms, in the realms of smell and the realms of hearing and the realms of touch. We've educated ourselves so much in those realms, but we don't educate. And today in schools, we do not educate our children in the realm of the spirit. We don't teach the word of God. We teach multi-faith. Mm-hmm. Well, God is not multi-faith. God is, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we have to get back to the place where the church takes on that responsibility, where the disciples take on the responsibility and teach faith in Christ Jesus. Teach the supernatural in Christ Jesus. Because all the world has got today has been the things of the natural realm.
Mm.
And it is destroying humanity.
Yeah.
We need to get back to where we are teaching the realm of the supernatural in God. And God will protect us. God will keep us. And God will strengthen us. You see, the world has become so self-seeking, so self-centered.
Mm.
I've got to be happy. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. This person's got to be in my life. This has got to happen in my life. Well, let me tell you this. The first thing that needs to happen in your life is you need to find Jesus. You need to put Jesus right in the center. You need to allow the Prince of Peace to come into your life and let him begin to rule and reign. Let him drive out the devil. Let him drive out the demonic forces that attack you. Let him deal with your past. Remember, you've now come to Christ. You should have no past.
Amen.
And tell the devil, there's no past in me. Let God, you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he died to heal us. He died to heal us physically. He died to heal us emotionally, our mind. He cleansed our minds. Our minds should be being cleansed. And God needs to, by his spirit, needs to be moving through our minds, through our bodies, and cleansing us from every hurt, every attack, everything that the devil has sought to do to us through somebody else. Because the devil can only use other people. He has no power. He has no authority. And so we need to bring ourselves to that point where we realize the devil does not have the power. He does not have the authority. But God gave it to you.
Amen.
God gave it to you, and you need to use it. You need to stand on the word of God. You need to practice this and practice this and practice this and practice this.
Amen.
Even the disciples had failures. But they didn't stop. Remember the boy who had been having epileptic fits and had been thrown into the fire and his face was badly burned, etc. And they couldn't deal with his spirit. And Jesus, the man came to Jesus and said, look at your useless disciples. You know, Jesus went and he dealt with this boy. Instantly. And then he turned to his disciples and he said, you're of little faith.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're of little faith. And you know, if we want to get stronger in God, we need to be praying and fasting that our faith will arise. It's not to weaken the devil. Our praying and fasting does not weaken the devil. The devil's already defeated.
Amen.
That's another teaching I do. The devil's already defeated in that scripture there. Jesus said, pray and fast that your faith might become stronger.
Amen.
It's our faith that stops us, our faith that prevents us. Let our faith arise and let its enemies be scattered. Get the word of God into you. Spend some time talking to God. Spend some time worshipping God. Spend some time worshipping in the spirit. Charge yourself with the things of God. Let the word of God be charged in you. Don't get distracted by other things. But let the spirit be charged in you. And when you're charged up, you begin to move through the power of God in your life mightily. You know, for you to have a healthy body, you need to have a good spirit. The Lord deals with us. If you've got a good spirit, you'll have a good soul.
Yeah.
God will minister into your mind through his spirit. You see, the devil tries to bring condemnation, but the word of God tells me there is now no condemnation.
Amen.
To those who are in Christ Jesus. So we've got to believe it. And when the devil comes and lies to us, we've got to quote back to him. We've got to give him more than what he's given us. Bat it back so hard that it knocks him down and that he stays down.
Amen.
And he's defeated. And we need to move forward. You see, God went through with Jesus. God provided healing in for our spiritual man, that he might unite us back to God. So this is God's work in our life. This is through the Spirit of God. And when we are united back together of God, it brings healing into our souls.
Amen.
It brings healing to our mind, our soul, our mind, if however you want to term it. And it brings us to a place of unity and harmony.
Amen.
With the mind of God. Isaiah, we love that one, don't we, in Isaiah, where it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord.
Yeah.
My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. And we need to get to that place where we are hearing and thinking the thoughts of God.
Amen.
And that we are about the Father's business, as Jesus said, and that we are doing the work of the kingdom of God, that we're seeing people's bodies healed, bringing them to the complete union of a complete and whole man and woman in Christ Jesus. And we need to be totally and fully possessed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I use possession in the right term of its phrase, that we are possessed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in that, God will move us and use us for his praise and for his glory. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.